Good evening. Live from the Radio City Tower on April Fool's Day, it's the Radio City Legends with Graham Sharp and John Aldridge. Plenty up for discussion. 4720 967. Sharpie would like to hear your thoughts on Everton's performance against West Ham. And John, when are Liverpool going to get a bit of luck this season?
Oh, yeah, it's
just not had the rubber of the green, have they?
The referee was a good referee. They've been 4-1.
He put his cat in the studio. Black cat on the lead.
You've got to say they've had a fair bit of luck, haven't they, at times, well, this Liverpool side.
The two that stick out was obviously the derby, you know, when it was just flittering out to a draw and, you know, and Tottenham. But, you know, you look at Tottenham last year, they got a little bit of lucky with the penalty last year late on. It wasn't a penalty, if you remember, and the linesman was giving it loads. So what comes round goes round a little bit. I thought it was worthy of a draw. I thought Tottenham, you know, for the first part of the second half, controlled the game really well. We went off the boil. I was surprised he didn't bring Fabinho on, Jürgen. You have to say, to steady the ship midfield, because Tottenham always looked likely to score a goal. Yeah. It was coming. You felt it was coming. And he didn't do it till it was too late. When he came on, he done really well. And obviously, the goal last minute, goalie's got to do better. Thankfully, he didn't. And the cop must have put him off, as he did Jordan Pickford.
Mm. Liverpool started well. I thought they did okay. I thought they were poor. I thought the players, that, you know, you looked too keen, I thought was poor. I thought Ali was poor. I'm looking through and I'm thinking, Liverpool quite comfortable. Mm. But then, second half, they get the goal and you just thought, wow.
You felt it was coming though, didn't
you? Yeah, you just thought, and they started hitting in breaks and then they're catching Liverpool in the break and you're thinking, wow. You know, better finishing from them, good defender from Liverpool.
Defining moment was Sissoko,
wasn't it? Yeah, but you look at it and you say, yeah, Liverpool were lucky, I would say. But again, name me a lucky team that hasn't won the league. You know, you're always going to get games when somebody makes a mistake as a back pass, or the goalie makes an error or something. It happens. So we shouldn't be surprised at it. And again, I think Graham soon said afterwards, Liverpool have got to play better. I'd say, yeah, they have to, kind of thing. But listen, at the end of the day, the result was the most important thing. So we can paint over it or say this happened and that happened. But Liverpool set out to win the game. They're done. It's put to bed now. They move on to the next one. So, you know, Tottenham,
huge win.
Yeah,
it's a huge win.
Because everybody, but I still say, John, and everybody was probably looking at that as being Liverpool's toughest game. I don't think it will be.
The away
Wolves,
games,
Palace,
the away,
yeah,
the away games. Mm. You know, we've got Newcastle,
so tough,
Southampton, Cardiff.
At
you
this
know,
stage
fighting,
of season, yeah,
they are tough. You're right there, mate. I think this, we saw in our fair, myself and Graham, was about the defending from Van Dijk. Mm. You know, I thought it was great defending, and it was great, the old-fashioned defending, when we knew Son was the danger, Son was the finisher. Sissoko's going through to make it 2-1. He's gone well. A lot of averages. I'd rather him have a shot, because he's only scored one goal in 60 games. You know, he knew he's right-footed, and he forced him on his left, and the rest is just, he ballooned it. Great defending. But if that, you say, we're saying everyone was going, played it over a little bit, because simply, I think, players of today don't think for themselves. Mm. He does. He's old-fashioned. Likes, you know,
proper
like Ratters. Yeah. Ratters or Jockey or Gary Gillespie, Lotto, you know, Derek Mountfield. These lads would have done the same. The players today, if that was Dejan Lovren, what would he have done? He probably would have got sent off. He'd have lunged in. What would Matip have done? He wouldn't have done that. You know, but you're looking at a different beast, and I mean that in a great manner. You know, Van Dijk, he just knew what to do and managed the situation. And it worked to our favour. You know, anyone else, we could have been 2-1 down and we don't get back in the game. And that allowed us to go ahead and get the little bit of luck. I'll say one thing, Felipe, when he went 1-1 and Fabinho came on, we looked a lot better and looked like we could go and get the winning goal. You know, especially after that miss by Sissoko. I think that deflated them a little bit. And, you know, we put them under a bit of pressure, cop end. You know, the goalie was poor, wasn't he? And we got the luck, you know, as we did against Everton. But you're right, you know, you do need luck to win championships. And let's hope that goes a long way to what we want to get at the end of the season.
John, I said to you before we come on here, I think with the Premier League, you tend to get carried away. People think football was invented when the Premier League sprung in 92, whatever it was, kind of thing. That was, for me, looking at it, good defending,
yeah,
but it's something In our day, and as John says, Hanson Lawrenson would have done that every game. You know, Gary Gillespie every game, and the people say, well, proper defending. That's what your defender should do. You know, show him on his weaker foot, position your body so you want him to go one way. And I just think at times, and I'm not, no, listen, it was good defending, don't get me wrong, but I think we get carried away, and John's right. Modern day players, we always talk about they can't defend set pieces, they can't do that, they can't do that, can't do this. This is why we feel, as watching as older players and people say, oh, dinosaur years and all that kind of thing. It's when defending was proper and you knew your job and you knew in that situation you didn't let it go to Song. Yeah. You had to make sure he take him on his weaker foot. So it was good defending, but wasn't, wow, wonderful, you know, fantastic. We were used to that week in, week out, weren't we? I think since the Premier League's came on, it's like, wow, this is fantastic.
You don't get many
player thinking.
You don't get many centre-halves that can do that.
Yeah, player thinking.
Yeah, it's right. Yeah. You don't get many centre-halves who can do that in the modern game.
Many times do we say, like, you know, stop crosses. you know, he's his strongest on the right. Go stop the cross. And they don't, and they stand back.
But it was quite an obvious thing that Van Dijk did, wasn't it? Because, and I think Christian, the producer, mentioned it beforehand, they do a bit of research on the opposition players. They,
of course you do.
He knows that Sissoko can't shoot on his left foot, and he knows that Sonny will finish.
Clever players and good players will pick that up, if not before, and be told by watching them. By watching the game, especially defenders, you know where he's weak. Where he's not.
You show him on his weak side. Mm. I remember Tranmere, we went to Man City when you had Georgie Kinkladze, who was a great player. When he looked all left foot. Friday night game, I think it was. And I went to the lads, I said, look, whenever he gets the ball, you just stand on his left foot. Stand on his left foot, let him do whatever he wants on his right foot, right through the game. And just whenever he gets the ball, don't let him force you to get it on his left foot because you put in the top corner or he put a great cross in or whatever. And lads done it. Unbelievably, well, we won 2-1 at Main Road, and he was marked down the game. Just a simple little thing like that, and it's not rocket science. Nope. Come on,
you mean stand on his foot within the laws of the game?
Well, you stand on his left hand.
Just stand on the foot,
so he can't shift it on his left foot, right. You know, or do a trick and get past. Force, let him have it on his right. Go right, or where you can stay on that foot all you want, as much space, and that's what Virgil van Dijk done there, and it paid dividends yesterday.
Right, lots to talk about on the Liverpool front. 4720967. Whatever your thoughts, give Aldo a shout. Everton, is that the most complete Everton performance of the season, or West Ham rubbish?
A bit of both.
Oops. A bit of both.
I think Everton played well. Everton played really well, but I thought West Ham were absolutely dreadful. Dreadful for the fact that manager was going mental. Arnautovic had one of those days when he couldn't be bothered.
Hot and cold.
John, and I thought the way they were defending. They were playing with just like two centre backs and the full backs. What's his name? The boy was at City, right back. What's his name?
Zabaleta.
Can't run anymore. But, you know, he was pushing forward and Everton were just hitting him on the break. And listen, going in 2-0 up, it could have been five. Should have been five.
Yeah.
It should have been five at half time, quite easily. The chances were made. They're keeping made a couple of good saves. But every time we went forward, we looked like scoring. And I just thought, and nagging in the back of your head, been here before, Newcastle away, I'm thinking, we can see the goal here. We could be up against it, but they were poor. Take nothing away from Everton. Mm-hmm. I thought Everton were very good, some good individual performances throughout the team. But I have to say that they were poor. You have to beat what's in front of you, of course you do, but they were poor.
Do you want to highlight any players? Gomez, I've heard
Gomez
that he
did
was...
well. Gomez did well. They never played the boy Noble, which I think was a blow for them. They obviously suffered a family bereavement, so he didn't play. He was on the bench. So I think that was a miss for them. He gives them a little bit more competitiveness. The boy, Rice, just played, didn't do an awful lot. They were dreadful. But Evan Gomez, decent. Bernard, decent. Scored a decent goal. I thought Dominic Calvert-Lewin worked well.
Consecutive starts for him.
Ran the channels is, well. Yeah, maybe.
Is he proving that he is someone who might remain in that position?
Listen, Steve, I thought he'd have been tested more at West Ham with the two big centre backs, but he just didn't defend. There was holes all over the place, and he was a willing runner. Got in behind him on numerous occasions. Hold up play was good. Probably needs to score. There was a couple of opportunities when he should have done better and he didn't. But listen, hopefully that will come. But overall, Seamus Coleman, great for the second goal. looks as if he's come back into a game. The two centre backs weren't troubled whatsoever, as I said. Arnautovic, you know, had his slippers on all afternoon. But no, listen, 3 points away from home, you know, following on from the Chelsea game. All good. And games to look forward to now. Arsenal at home on the Sunday, which is going to be a decent game as well. So,
And a step closer to being in the Europa League next season. Because actually, you're not that far off, are you? You're close to seventh place now.
Yeah, as I said, I think there's 1 point or something. Yeah. I don't know. But it just shows you how football changes. You know, after a couple of results, everybody going mad. And I kept saying, you know, got to give them time. Football changes unbelievably. He's won two games now in the trot. And it looks a little bit healthier now. So, hey, listen, let's wait and see. But listen, I think the opposition we've got between now and the end of the season is going to be a lot better than what West Ham were.
Blues, do you want European football next season? Give Sharpie a shout. 01514720967. Let's take a couple of your calls on the Radio City Legends with Graham Sharp and John Aldridge. We're going to start with Liverpool and discuss the midfield and the selection yesterday by the manager. Let's have a chat with David. Evening, David.
Evening, gents.
Hi, Dave. Hello, Dave.
Hello, gents. Obviously, my heart rate, things come down now to a respectable level after yesterday. I just think he'll win you support Liverpool. I just think you go through the ringer. I just think it's just you just got to face that in your life. The Liverpool will probably be the deputy in the end.
Try supporting Everton.
Well, yeah, no. I'd probably be dead by now, Sharky, if that was the case. with regards to the match yesterday, obviously it's a great result for us. Obviously, you win a game of footy at any point, a couple of minutes to go, it's good. But I think the importance of it is, just with City's two games they have at the moment, they obviously had Fulham and they had Cardiff, and obviously they've got a few games coming up that are more difficult.
Yeah.
And we just need to be around them, and it can't be like a case where if they drop a couple, we need to be still in that gap. If they even drop a point, we're there to take advantage. So in the respect of that game yesterday, it was massive, because obviously now, obviously if we can beat Southampton and that, and then they go into that little run of games there where they've got to go a few times, like four or five games, big games, and I'm just like hoping that obviously the tank may run a little bit empty in that respect. I think obviously a lot of them was made obviously our performance yesterday. I thought first half we played really well. The second half we went off it a little bit, like, but I thought that was a lot to do with the midfield three, and I was absolutely amazed that Fabinho didn't play.
They do say
the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting different results. And that midfield three just doesn't work, John. And we know it doesn't, but he continues to go with it.
I think they obviously, he knows the lads, they've got the experience, they've played together so many times, more than any other trio at the club. But it does look imbalanced at times. I have to agree with you on there. I think looking at this season, you know, I think the fact that we've conceded less goals, but we've scored less goals, and that is the reason. You know, they're better defensively than they are attacking. The three players, with all due respect to them, really good players. You know, I've got tremendous respect for them. I thought Fabinho would start. I thought. When they were kept the ball and they caused us problems, I thought Jürgen's got to change it. He's got to put Fabinho on now, and he didn't. He didn't for whatever reason. You know, it kept him. He's talking to his right hand man many times. I think he's got to do it. Just do it now. And then it was too late. The ball was in the back of the net. Then we regrouped a bit. We came again. He came on, and okay, they were a little bit more tired as a team. Spurs at that time, but I thought he was excellent when he came on. He managed the game. He coped really well in midfield. He's got to start him at Southampton without a shadow of a doubt.
He's got to start every game.
I think so.
It's a no brainer, John. I think he's flattened out a bit in recent games. Wijnaldum, I think he's still played on an okay level, but I think Fabinho is our best midfielder at the moment.
Yeah, you know, yesterday with Wijnaldum, I actually think that he played a huge game for Holland against Germany. He looked really leggy yesterday. I thought when Henderson went off, I thought Gini was going. He wasn't himself, because he's been really sprightly lately and he's been playing really well. But he looked, you know, really tired, you know, in the first half and as well. But he played in 90 minutes, you know, which was, you know, he did all right. But he just, I think that game took a lot out of him for Holland.
Yeah, as I say, we'll be seeing you at the races, John, on Thursday. You going?
You better bet.
Legend and that. So I'm expecting you and Sharpie, you're going to make a little bit of an appearance, aren't you?
I'm not there Thursday.
I'm there Thursday. Unfortunately, we won't be doing the Radio City show. That's the only downfall of it here. But I'll always look.
You look that little walk down where they say Legends Liverpool and Alan Alda walks down and all this. I love that, Tony.
Melts it.
You've been spotted, have you?
Listen, I'm going to say very quickly, again, a surprise that Origi comes on before Shaqiri.
Shaqiri's not come on at all.
No.
You know, Sturridge wasn't on the bench as well. I thought... You know, it was strange. He seems to have sided with Origi. And when he puts him on, now he puts him on the wing.
He plays wide.
And to be fair, he came on. He made a little bit of an impact. Mm. He won a couple. Actually, I think he won the corner that we've got the goal from. Mm. You know,
he must have been in some belters in training on those free kicks, John, because I couldn't believe him when we got that free kick and Origi took it.
I know. And do you know what? It was Ambola. That was Ambola. That was.
Oh, how much more luck
tell
do you
what,
want?
Honestly, did you see the replay of that?
No, I never.
It was Ambola. Big time. Was I think it was Harry Kane in the wall and the referee didn't see that one. I've seen them given.
John, another injustice. The goal for Spurs, Harry Kane took the free kick, but the ball was rolling, wasn't it?
It was. It was.
What goes around comes around.
And do you know what? It wasn't even a foul. Jordan Henson.
He's clever, though.
He was clever at doing it, but yeah, come on. He's the England captain. The referees give him every decision when he goes over. They give him everything because he's the England captain.
Sharpie.
Don't start us about referees. That's another show.
Yeah, I've got to go on around Dave in a minute. Going on the referees about this Cardiff game in a minute.
David, thank you very much indeed.
Cheers, mate.
Cheers. Take care.
You've been spotted at the races, haven't you? People know when you're at the races, John. I hope they don't ask for any tips off you because you're pretty rubbish.
I know. I never get
don't know horses, do you?
Crap, yeah, I'm useless. So if anyone got any tips, give me them. You know. But going off the subject.
Stay out the bar. And
the yeah, that's it. Yeah, the linesman against Cardiff.
Yeah,
absolutely, Mingsville, awful, disgusting, shocking words. Words come out. You know, I'm not. I don't really like. Not many people do like Warnock, but I felt sorry for him. I really did. You know,
could determine them going down.
140 million it could cost the club. That's but it was so bad.
Yeah.
And it goes back to the decision I always say about, you know, these, whether it's referees or linesmen, who's to say he doesn't follow Swansea or someone who's in the mix at the bottom now, Burnley, or as we've talked about it before. Mm. I've said it all along. That is just a shocker. He shouldn't be a referee and linesman a game for 6 months after that. That's disgusting. What a
it was a bad one, wasn't it?
It was a bad one, but again, as we said before, and we've said it time and time again, Steve, they've got to be answerable. And we've talked about them working as a unit and going round as a team. But he's got to, for me, they've got to go in front of the TV cameras. They love it all, they milk it all when it's going well for them and everything else and love to be centre of attention. They should be accountable after the game, as managers are, that they have to speak when the team's been beat or whatever. They should be accountable and say, right, okay, talk us through that.
Mm-hmm.
Talk us through that. What are you seeing there? And then at least, listen, it's not going to change it, but at least he might have seen something that we hadn't. And okay, fair enough, Baba. But we have to decide, why did you do that? What were you thinking about there? Mm. What did you see different to what we saw? Make them accountable. Get them in front of the TV cameras and say, right, okay, explain that.
And that guy wasn't.
He didn't even, like... The referee didn't even go over and have a word with him. Come on. Mm. Just words failure.
Mm.
You know, and you might, if you'd have talked to him after the game, you might have seen he had a Chelsea tattoo on his fingers or somewhere.
10-7. The Radio City Legends. Murray calls next. Right, 7 minutes to 7 Radio City Legends. Good evening. I'm Steve Hoversall, Aldo and Sharp here. Before we get back to Liverpool and Everton, a couple of other sporting talking points from the weekend. Brilliant from Tranmere. Seven straight wins now.
Brilliant.
Charging away.
Well, it's similar to Liverpool in many ways. They've just got to take every game as it comes, like a cup final. On a roll, if they can see after the next game, it's going to be tough, you know. But they can get that little
get
spot.
Automatic,
yeah,
can't
yeah,
they?
Yeah, they can. Yeah, they can.
8,000 at Prenton Park on Saturday. Brilliant. I went to that; it was superb.
Brilliant.
And if you can get down and support them for the the Bury or the MK Don games, fantastic.
Yeah, big games.
They're going to be huge, aren't they?
Yeah,
right, a little bit on the distasteful side of things from the weekend in the boxing. You saw David Price getting bitten by Cash Alley. Did you see the mark he left on his chest?
Yeah.
That's not right. That's not right, is it? And also on the distasteful side of things, the Old Firm derby, where Alfredo Morelos was sent off for the fifth time this season. How do you deal with a player like that? Would you boys have let it get to number five?
No, I don't think so. Stevie's been very lenient with him, hasn't he?
He's a very good player, though, isn't he?
He's the best player they've got, isn't he? Yeah. Mm.
But listen, I said to my son I was watching, I said, watch him, you'll get sent off here. Absolute guarantee. Big game, hostile atmosphere, away from home. Come on, be a man. He gets sent off, puts his team down to 10 men after 30 minutes. And Steven Gerrard's comments after the game were brilliant. He can't defend him anymore. He cannot defend him anymore. 5 red cards in the season. You know, unbelievable. He's a top scorer, as John said. He's probably their best player. Yeah. I would sell him. I would sell him. I think because the guy is out of control. The guy is out of control.
He's
out of control. And listen, I don't think Scott Brown's antics were great, you know, being the Celtic captain. I think he's got to be above that kind of thing. But he's enticed him in. He knows what he's like. He's enticed him in. But Scott Brown's reactions after and all that kind of thing caused a little bit of a few problems in the crowd kind of thing. But forgetting all that, Morelos, we're talking about, I would sell him. And I know Steven Gerrard says he's his best player, and I fully understand that. The top scorer, he would be really, really hard to replace. Mm. But if you're Morelos' teammate, you walk in at half time and you look at him and think, what are you doing?
Best player, but a bit of a thug. Do you get rid of him or not?
He's got too much of an edge to him. And, you know, obviously, I've had players as a sense, because I used to react quite a lot when I was playing, and he's trying to get me sent off. And to be fair, it worked in the earlier days a few times. But then you get wise with the older you get. You know, you realise, you know, what they're trying to do to you. And, you know, 5 times in a season, come on, when's the penny going to drop? Mm. And I'm sure Steve's probably said to me loads of times, you can't keep on doing it. Mm. But he's got this red-eyed monster, isn't he? You know, someone says anything, he explodes. Mm.
And then you've got Scott Brown, who winds up Ryan Kent, and Ryan's probably going to get punished for what he's done.
But we've known players who do that all the time. And they want to react and get sent off. Well, the mugs, aren't they? You know, Ryan was very lucky. You know, he'll get done. It's only a little fob with his hand, but you can't lift your hands this modern day game. And it's a pity because he's probably Rangers' best player in the game.
And listen, there was lots of trouble in Glasgow afterwards. A boy critically injured and is in hospital at the moment, and a few other stabbings and everything else. And I never really thought of this before, but in a game like that, where the tensions are so high, they've got responsibility, the players. And what happened in one or two incidents, and also when the game had finished, was wrong. You know, so I'm not saying that the trouble in Glasgow wouldn't have happened, but they've got a responsibility to say, hold on a minute, this is a powder keg atmosphere here.
Yeah.
We have got to be, we want to win, we're determined, and it's going to be, we've got to compete the best we can, but
it could have been an influence.
They stepped
for
over
what
the
went
line.
On.
They stepped over the line.
But it's a passionate city. Mm-hmm. It's like Liverpool. Mm-hmm. It's a real passionate football city. And Sharpie's right, you know, where. The animosity can spread after the game, as it has, unfortunately, you know, into the pubs or wherever it is. And,
you know, maybe it is.
It's pity, you know. Hopefully, the
bloke's right,
all right.
Let's get back to the phone lines. Radio City Legends, we're just shy of 7 o'clock, and let's have a chat with Tony on the Everton front. Evening, Tony. Sorry to keep you waiting.
You're all right, boys.
Hey,
you're
all right. Hey, Tony, all right.
Graham, for you, really, mate. Yeah. Just what you think about, Everton's second win on the bounce, another clean sheet, another 2 goals, and I just think with Silva now, he's starting to get his stamp on the side. I mean, he's got Bernard now permanently on the left, who was fantastic. He's pushed Richarlison right and took out Walcott, and Richarlison seems to be linking up well with Seamus Coleman. I thought they were fantastic at the weekend.
Yeah,
I mean, West Ham, he was poor, but normally it takes Everton 10 minutes to get going, but from the off, we were like, right, and we were. I thought we were going to be on the beach with the deck chairs out, thinking, oh, we're on 40, you know.
Yeah.
But it just seems to be the giving the fans, I mean, the fans have still travelled well, and they've given something to cheer about. It, it, I mean, I was buzzing on Saturday with the it was the performance mainly. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, Tony, I think you're right. I think you're spot on. I think we haven't seen enough of that this year. I think everybody's been disappointed. They've aired their views and their concerns, and quite rightly so. You know, listen, managers will get judged in the amount of games they win and the points they amass. And, you know, Everton's was poor. But it's amazing what a month does. You know, and you said the last two games, clean sheets, you know, we should have won at Newcastle. All of a sudden, you know, there's a confidence in there. But between now and the end of the season, that's got to continue. It's no use going out against Arsenal and going out against Manchester. Two massive games for players. They're the games you want to play, and I'd rather have those games at the end of the season.
Yeah, definitely at the end of the season.
Rather having Burnley, and although we've got to play Burnley, or some of the Huddersfields of this world.
Yeah,
I'd rather we go out in the season in a high, and we've got some great opportunities to do that. But I just think that, I've said all along, Tone, it takes time. The boy Bernard needs time. The boy Gomez needs time. You know, Dania's been brilliant for us. You know, new signers need time to adapt. Listen, it hasn't been great. We know that. But hopefully, you know, we've got some signs there that, you know, we can finish the season well.
I think we can kick on strong from this. I mean, I know this is going to sound stupid saying this. I don't think we need Europe this next season in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
I think we need another good crack at the Premier League, see what next year is going to bring, see who's coming back from loans, if we still have to try and get off the books. Let's clear the decks and let's see who we can bring in. I mean, Calvert-Lewin, he's done well on Saturday, but I want a goal from him personally.
Yeah.
He did run well. And I thought he should have brought him off at about 70 minutes. Mm-hmm. He was knackered. Mm-hmm. He'd run every channel for us. And I thought, give the lad two sooners, see if he can continue his goal scoring. He scored two. I know it was Malta or something, wasn't it? But he still scored midweek. He scored a couple midweek. So maybe without tying them out, looking into the Arsenal game and keeping some of them fresh.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think, you know, I think a lot of the complaints on Saturday night with the fact that what you said there, I think you should have made a few substitutions a little bit earlier. But listen, hey, we're happy with 2-0. You know, obviously, Tosin's still got a part to play for me. I think you're spot on about Dominic Calvert-Lewin. I think he's I've said it time and time again, he's got all the attributes. What he needs now is goals when he gets in positions where he did it. He had a couple on Saturday.
Maybe he has to do a bit better.
But hopefully that will come, kind of thing. But no, the important thing for us is we've got to finish the season well. We've got to put in a performance against Arsenal. Those two games have gone now. We've got to look forward to Arsenal.
What would you say with the likes of Zouma and Gomez? We try and sign them. Are we going to be priced out of Gomez?
I don't think we'll be priced out. I think, you know, I heard something today that Tottenham are supposedly interested in Gomez.
Yeah, I think if Eriksen goes one way, they're looking from round him. But they won't pay his wages.
Well, I would try and get Zouma. And I think that'll be harder because I think Chelsea, because of their transfer embargo, he'll go back there. But I like him. I would buy him. And Gomez I would buy as well. But listen, hey-ho, who knows?
How much is Gomez then? How much would you pay for him?
I think he's got a clause in his contract. Is it 30 million?
I would say between 40 to 50, won't he? That's where he would be.
Yeah, I think
he's not cheap, is it?
He's not cheap.
Wow.
Cheap. So, from
how much food you get these days for 50 million? Yeah, you know what I mean?
You get it. Yeah. Not many cheap at all.
No, there's no one cheap anymore. You get lucky, don't you? Mm-hmm. You get lucky with some of them. I mean, we took Sandro for 5 million and gave him 125 grand.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So, listen, I think, Tony, you're spot on. I think it depends on what happens in the summer in terms of getting some of these guys back and then getting them out again. So let's wait and see. But hopefully finish the season well.
Tony, thank you very much indeed. Okay, good call. We're going to have to move on from that. Just a quick, he said he didn't want Europe next season.
Yeah.
Europe. I think Europe is a great statement for a club like Everton. I don't think you should ever turn it down,
players,
should you?
To get players if you're in Europe, you know, it sells.
Is it not what you're constantly aiming for?
I've said all along that Everton need to be qualifying for Europe every year. If it's Champions League beyond us, I think the best you've got to look for is Europa League and try and compete in that every year. With doing that, you build the stature up of your club in terms of attracting players.
Plus, if you pass it by this year, there's no guarantee you get it next year.
Champions League's the one everybody wants to play in and all the players want to play in, kind of thing. If you're not got that, you've got to look for what's next. And for me personally, I'd take European football. But I can see Tony's argument in it and the fact that we need to get the squad dusted down and settled down and say, this is the squad, and get rid of the players.
That's your problem, Sharpie. You know, with the players that's left, the manager doesn't want them.
Yeah.
Right, let's have a look at Liverpool's run-in with our next call. Let's analyse City against Liverpool. Going to talk with Lee next. Evening, Lee.
Evening, fellas. How you doing? How you doing?
Hey, Lee. Hi, Lee.
How are you doing, boys? You okay? Yeah, I'm still on cloud nine, I'll be honest with you, after yesterday. Brilliant results. I thought they were outstanding after Tottenham equalised. I thought Klopp called the right move. I see him for being, he was just about stripped off and he pulled him back and then I think they equalised.
Yeah, it did. Yeah.
He decided there and then to put Origi on and I thought it was a masterstroke, to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. And I thought we battered to get the winner. They did everything Liverpool to win the game yesterday, as they have done all season.
Lee, where does it go from here?
Right, well, my feeling is City's run of games now. If I was a City fan now, looking at what they've got to do next, so they've got an FA Cup semi-final at the weekend. We play, obviously, on Friday night to go 5 points clear off them.
No, they play on Wednesday night. Wednesday. They've got Cardiff at home.
Sorry. Yeah, it's all been jumped up, hasn't it? Sorry, boys. Yeah, sorry. Yeah.
So they can go back in front, then Liverpool can go back in front on Friday night. And then they both play again together on Sunday, April the 14th.
14th, yeah. But in between, they've obviously got semi-final of the club, haven't they? They've got Tottenham away next week, that new ground in the Champions League. They then play Palace away the 13th of April, the day that we play Chelsea at home.
Yeah, that's the one. And then Tottenham again on the 20th.
Tottenham again midweek in the Champions League after that game, after Palace away. And then Tottenham at home in the league the following weekend. Then Man United away they've got.
Yeah, it's a tough run of games. You know, it is a tough run of games. But, you know, they've got the squad at this moment in time. But who's to say, with all these games, and I think they've got something like nine games in April. Possibly nine games or more. Is it more? I think it's more. I've seen it
they've
today.
They've got eight already, and I think obviously...
They've got it like three games a week, right the way through. Yeah. And there's every chance that they could get injuries to key players. If that happens, then, you know, it's game on. If they don't, then they can... Actually, the way they're playing, they can win every game, can't they? It'll be tough for them.
Yeah. But I think that just the intensity of that run, John, I think even if you take the cup games out alone, you know, and if they weren't playing in the cup games, they would be tough. Palace away, as you know, is tough.
Yeah, it can be. If they play well, Burnley away will be tough. Could be tough. My thought is they're big one, and we talked about this last week, the Champions League. For that club to move on, where they want to be, and the people from the East want them to be, or where they want them to be from the Middle East, is there, and so that's when the squeaky bum time will come. When they've got Tottenham, or when they've got Juventus or Ajax in the semis, if they get through, that's when the pressure's going to mount on them big time. Take it from me, and if they can adjust and take it on the chin and deal with it, then you've got to say well done to them. You know, but I don't know. I think they're going to have a few hiccups along the way, personally.
I do as well, John. I'm absolutely convinced Liverpool have not left, you know, they've been in the race from day one. They'll be in the race until day 38, and we're not going anywhere. Klopp said it last week. We proved it again yesterday. We proved it against Fulham. We've had our little blip by the looks of it. But, you know, we did.
We're not playing well. We're grinding results out. You know, at Fulham, it was a nitty gritty one. Yesterday, we win at our best, but we got over the line. It's a good sign, but you'd like to see us in go to Southampton and really turn it on, because away from home, with the exception of Bayern Munich, we haven't really turned on. We've got over the line in certain games, but we haven't played really well away from home for some time.
They'll get energised by the results and a little bit of luck that we've had. And that was going to be my final point earlier. Mm-hmm. But I'm salty all night. But all the headlines today were about lucky Liverpool, and we were bloody lucky yesterday. Mm-hmm. Yes. So, you know, but so what? And what I would say on that is that with all due, and I've said it a few times this season when I've called, you know, City, it's the most expensive team ever put in football.
Yes.
And to win the league off a team like that, you've got to have a lot of luck.
Fair point.
Well, Sharpie said it before, didn't you? You win leagues with luck.
Of course you do. You're not going to play well all the time. You're going to scrape out goals. You're going to get own goals. You're going to get mistakes. he's got to take advantage of them. It's as simple as that and move on to the next game. But the only thing I would say, you're looking at City and talking about the big games they've got coming up. Hey, listen, he's used to that, Guardiola. Guardiola's been through this time and time again. I just said to John, well, Lee was on, their squad size, they played in at the weekend and they won. But they've got player Fernandinho's coming back now. Yeah, he got 20 minutes and thing. Stones was on the bench. He's coming back. So they're now getting their players back at the right time. But so he'll look at this and go, yeah, it's a punishing schedule, he said, but he will already have in his mind who's playing in what game and teams. So he's experienced enough to have been in that situation before, whether it be Barcelona, where he's been winning the league and all that and in the Champions League. But he's no mug. He knows this. And whilst I would say Lee's right in what he's saying about the run-in and everything else, that won't scare them. That will not scare them, because they are just, what Liverpool should be doing now is just gearing up on that game. Yeah. And their focus will be on Cardiff in midweek, win that game, and they'll put it to bed, and they'll move on to the next one. And they'll do that. And they've got big games coming up in the Champions League and United. And all. They will be fearing going to United.
Nice one, Lee. Thank you very much indeed. Great points. 7:10, we'll do Pens next. The boys will go head-to-head. Right, there's slight concern in the studio because we've heard Sharpie moan about some of the questions in Pens for the past few weeks. And I've just told him that producer Christian had 2 hours sleep in his car last night.
Yeah.
Which might suggest that these questions are going to go off the rails somewhat. Yeah.
Could
be. Yeah.
Well, we've just had an issue with our microphone, and our producer didn't have a clue how to fix it. And it was left to the capable hands of John Aldridge to fix it. What's going on?
There's nothing capable about
all
those hands.
Two-make-a-lie trays, Steve.
Yeah, all right. What are we on? Sharpie 20, Aldo 24.
Yeah, Sharpie's first shout.
Right, me first shout. I'll go 5.
Right, 5. No questions about the moon today, by the way. Right, name the four sides, Sharpie.
Oh, I hate to always get these.
Name the four sides in the 2005 Champions League semi-final.
That's ridiculous.
I'm not going to put the clock on because I'll just give you a moment or two to have a think about that. 2005 Champions League semi-final.
Real Madrid.
No.
It is one of those where you don't want to watch schoolboy football.
Oh, come on, who did Liverpool play in the semi?
There's no interest in 2005.
Who did they play in the final?
Chelsea, Milan.
Yeah, go on. Who was the other one?
Who
was the other one?
Barcelona.
No. PSV was the other team. Sharpie, it's a miss.
2005.
What number was that to go for?
That was number five.
Oh, five. I'll go number four then.
Number four.
Name this song.
Okay. Who is the youngest player? This is really hard. Who is the youngest player to play in the Premier League? There's not a cat in hell's chance that John Aldridge is going to get this.
Who's the
youngest player to play in the Premier League?
Ah. Wayne Rooney.
Christian must have Googled this in his car at 4 this morning.
I'm going to see Wayne Rooney. I'm going to see. I'm going to see either.
You won't get it.
I'm going to see the Everton's Josie Baxter.
No.
Ryan Sessegnon.
No.
Oh, go on.
Matthew Briggs for Fulham against Middlesbrough. 16 years and 68 days.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah. Well done, Matthew.
Okay. Well done, Christian. What number was that?
4.
2 misses to get going. John.
No,
Sharpie.
Yeah, 6.
Song and artist.
Paul McCartney.
Easy, okay. Easy. These are always easy.
Are you ready? Here we go. Song and artist. Right. Do you want it again? Here we go.
Yeah.
Song and artist.
It's the Police.
Right, there we go.
Come on,
what
come
is
on,
the song?
Steve, come on.
Walking on the Moon.
What are you going for?
Walking on the Moon.
By the...
Is it Sting or the Police?
Go on, make your choice.
On the Moon. Police.
Business!
What number was that?
Yeah, that was 6. Number 6.
By the way...
One
that was that
Sharpie.
Close to go and sting there.
Number one.
Number one is mystery voice time. Oh, John Aldridge, listen out hard. Yeah. Hang on, let me lower this bed.
It's Soul Destroying.
Oh, come
one
on.
One more time.
It's Neil Warnock.
It's Soul Destroying.
You've really done your homework there, Christian. Did you get that after the game on Saturday? Yeah, I thought you might have done.
It was in the car.
Oh, yeah.
Right, one of these questions is horrific. One is very easy.
Oh, the best.
Give me the horrific one, yeah.
Right? And if you choose the one that relates to Liverpool, you can have it within 10. I think that's fair enough to say, because otherwise it would be impossible.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah, I'll go on with that.
Two.
This is the Liverpool one. Oh. How many goals have Liverpool scored since Jurgen Klopp took over? How many goals have Liverpool scored since Jurgen Klopp took over? It's in the papers today. It's been in the echoes all day. European Cup, the lot.
Yeah, it was in there today, yeah. No, he hasn't been in 4 years.
Yes. I'd say...
within 10?
I'd say 320.
Absolutely no idea.
John, what's the answer?
I don't know. I'd have a guess at 250.
No, it's 400.
Well, I was near us, so it's mine.
400. No, no. John can win it with this.
Oh, so it's 100 goals a season.
I'll have number three then.
It's 100 goals a season.
Talk to our producer about the
stats
here.
He doesn't know. He just thought he's...
Did he dream this up? You saw it on the telly.
What programme was on the telly?
He was watching Sky and you saw it.
The world revolves around Sky again.
You think there's 400 goals, yeah.
Have you seen it on The Chase?
Yeah, seen it on The Chase, yeah.
Right, John, here we go. Yes. This is for the win.
Is this the horrific
5-0
one?
Lead. No, this is the easy one.
Oh, is it?
Yeah,
oh,
this is super easy. Yeah. Tranmere won 3-0 at the weekend, but who did they beat?
Oh, no. No.
I forgot Carlisle.
I'm not having that. By the way, the game's gone. The game has gone.
What score is that?
That's gone. That's... No. That's...
Just unlucky, mate. You should have picked three.
The producer's even shaking his head.
You should have picked three, though. It's not my fault. You picked the wrong one, too.
It's all about the questions you pick.
No, that's rubbish.
There was no space question today.
A nice mix. It's because you only had 3 hours kept.
In a car.
Yeah.
More importantly, what's the score?
That is 25 to yourself, John, and Graham's on 20. Ooh. I think at one stage, Graham had like a 10 lead.
No, that was last year and the year before.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
It's like Lazarus, this.
But listen, can I honestly say, we need to have somebody who is dedicated to the show.
You want him taken off it?
Yes. The question, yeah. Get Matt on to get the questions on.
If there's any blues out there who'd like Christian taken off the quizzing.
Oh, that's totally unfair. It's totally unfair. You've just got to be lucky on the ones you pick.
Right in. We'll debate
the
it. Yeah. All right. We'll get back to some more calls in a moment. Just before we get to, I think it's Jimmy who's coming on next to talk about Everton. Just a quick one. We didn't mention Liverpool-wise. Andy Robertson was actually outstanding.
He was,
and
yeah.
I saw some stats today. He is the third highest assist maker in the Premier League.
I thought that was one of the questions. I'd done my own work. Hinchcliffe and Baines, in it? Above him.
Yeah. Look at him.
I've seen it. Done
you've been in the car with Christian.
I thought.
That's a good point.
But he was superb, wasn't he? You know, the block he did from, I think it was Ericsson, was brilliant. You know, he's a good old jock.
Great ball into the goal.
That's a delight for me and you, Darren. You know, just put your head down and the goal. He's got no chance, has he?
Great ball in.
Yeah, it was great ball.
Superb area. Yeah. We were going to take a blue. Instead, we've got a red come through. It's Tony. Let's have a chat with him. Evening, Tony.
All right, John.
Right, Tony.
Hi, right,
Tony. Hi, mate.
John, just
want to
say, we did ride our luck yesterday, but... United have done it for years and won the titles with loads of games, and
yeah.
You know, we're just grinding games out. But the main point is that Fabinho's got to start in midfield for me. I don't think you can play Henderson and Milner together. I think he's got to play with Ronaldo and Wood, one of the other two. So I was a bit disappointed that he weren't starting, but when he come on, he looked a bit more solid because we're getting overrun in midfield second half, especially John Wayne.
Yeah, spot on. No, as I said before, I thought he'd come on a bit earlier when we lost our way. Jürgen just did it slightly and then they'd scored. Then when he put it on, it did change the game. We got a grip of it in midfield again and we looked more likely to get the win in the last 10 minutes. Better late than never. Absolutely, yeah. But, I think you mentioned about the late goal. I think psychologically now, that's a big plus for Liverpool. Because if you go back to what Man United and Alex Ferguson used to do, you know, used to put subs on, and then the last 5 minutes of the game, you'd always thought that they were going to score. all of a sudden, we've done it quite a lot of times this year, and it's embedded in players, you know, minds. So it's a psychological thing that it's not bad having on your side.
That's so fit to give Salah a boost. I know it was an own goal, but you know, he got the assist and really was down to him not be scored because he just keeps snapping at things, John, and it's not happening for him
Is he? Yeah, he wasn't great, was he?
No, but he sticks with him, Klopp. He won't take him off, will he?
No.
Because he has got that threat if he is getting in the positions. I just hope that's given him a bit of confidence because if he starts scoring now, you know, it's going to, you know, Mane's been banging him in. It's good to see Bobby scoring. But if he starts scoring and confident now to get him back to his best, couldn't be anything better.
Massive. That's one of the reasons, you know, if we are to go on and win the Premiership, then we need him, you know, to start playing as we know he can. I thought he struggled badly today. You know, even from the couple of shots he had early on, you know, there's no belief in his shot. You know, he just didn't believe he was going to score them. Like, the haphazard, he was just getting his foot, and they weren't good efforts. But hopefully that will have lifted him. And if what the crowd did at the end doesn't lift him, then nothing else will, because the send-off he got when he came off was absolutely fantastic. You know, that was just heartwarming to see how the fans revered him when he come off. It was an amazing crescendo, you know, so hopefully that'll lift him as well. So
Tony, thank you very much indeed. We're going to have to go there. You've just been having a look at the fixtures there, haven't you, Sharpie?
Yeah, well, because I'm looking at it and I'm thinking Everton have got six league games, and Christian, the producer, who's having an absolute nightmare tonight, has only put down that Liverpool have got four games left in the league.
That's not my job.
Yeah. Newcastle away.
Oh, you've had to Newcastle's away.
Wolves at home last game of the season. Huddersfield and Southampton on Friday night, so that's to come. Right. Look, who have Everton got next?
Arsenal at home. Good game's coming up.
Good game. That'd be a decent game.
Good game. It's good games to finish. Arsenal at home, United at home, Burnley at home. Three home games. Yeah. You know, you look forward to, and then Fulham away.
Tottenham away. Last game of the season.
Last game of the season.
Are you going to go down? I'd love to see this. Are you going to go down and have a little look?
Maybe.
Hey, it's the only cashless stadium in Britain. That'd suit you.
Listen to him.
You
deserved it for having got my producer, Christian. Yeah. John, what have we got? We got 30 seconds remaining. What should we talk about? Anything on your mind?
The race is on Thursday. Any tips? Anyone? Yeah. No, Southampton, honestly, Friday. Yeah, because I won't be doing the show on Thursday. Yeah, massive game. It's just massive. We've just got to go there. Hopefully we'll turn in a really good performance and get the 3 points as well. I'd love to see us, you know, clicking on all cylinders.
Sharpie's ripping up the quiz sheet. Thank you very much, Sharpie. Thanks, Aldo. The boys back on Thursday.